Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. It's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and whatever's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are freelance writer Jimmy Israel, syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete, editor and civil rights attorney Arsalan Iftikhar, and media executive Nick Charles. Hi, guys. I may jump in from time to time, but for now, take it away, Jimmy.
Hey, Michelle. Thanks so much. Fellas, what's up? Welcome to the shop.
What's happening?
Hey, man. How you doing?
Yo, check this out. Geraldine Ferraro resigned from Hillary Clinton's campaign after refusing to back down off disparaging comments she made about Barack Obama. All right, A-Train, what is on Geraldine Ferraro's mind? She's all about, you know, well, Barack's got it great.
You know?
What's that about?
If we had to make this into a movie remake, I would call it Grumpy Old Women. And I just think that she's gone far beyond being a surrogate of the Clinton campaign. And,
I'm sorry. Can I throw something at him, please?
No, I mean, if it was a guy, I would say grumpy old men. I mean, it just seems like it's not helping the Clinton campaign, obviously. She had to step down from her position there. I'm just kind of perplexed as to why she went there.
I don't know. Ruben, what do you think?
There's a lot here, Michelle. There's a lot here, but I'll just take two swipes at it. First of all, when you boil down her comments, what she's talking about is dismissing all the appeal, all the skill set, all the gifts that Barack Obama has. And that's insulting to millions of folks, millions of Americans, particularly African Americans. But the other thing I'd say about this is that it's really a great educational moment, because I have tried for so long to convince Latinos and African Americans they need to look at both parties, because the Democratic Party wants their votes and really doesn't give them any regard. From now on, I'm not going to have to make that lecture. I'm just going to have to say two words, Geraldine Ferraro.
Right.
But, you know, I also have to say, she also began this interview that we're talking about now with this newspaper in California by saying that the only reason she got picked is that she's a woman, and that she said, if my name were Gerald Ferraro, I wouldn't have been on the ticket. I don't know about you guys, but to me, as a woman, I'm thinking, okay, why are you dogging yourself?
Yeah, isn't that that's sort of a graven approach to things, you know?
Nick, get a piece of this.
You know, I think the thing is, she's a three-time loser. She lost, you know, she helped Mondale lose 49 states, and she lost two other races here in New York State. The fact of the matter is, right now, there's a struggle for the Democratic Party, and I guess Ruben is rubbing off on me, because I agree with him. Are you going to bring this party the party of Lyndon Johnson or the party of Andrew Johnson? The fact of the matter, are we going to go back to when Andrew Johnson, who took over after Lincoln got assassinated, and basically tried to destroy Reconstruction and put blacks back in their place by killing civil rights? Or are you going to move forward like the Great Society did in the 60s and give everybody a franchise? This is the real struggle. It's not Obama. It's not Clinton. It's about, do Democrats really care about people of color, particularly black folks, or they've been riding, skating by for all these years on smiles and promises and
anti-Republican votes.
Exactly. When Bill Clinton was getting 90% of the black vote, nobody said anything. But now Obama's getting it, and it's because he's black.
Speaking of people talking bad about your boy Obama, yo, Representative Steve King talking about terrorists would celebrate if Democrat Barack Obama were elected president. A-Train, what's up with that?
Well, you know, it's just one of the right-wing surrogates for McCain pandering again to the politics of fear.
But to McCain's credit, he did.
Yes, he disavowed
immediately
it.
Immediately disavow it.
But, you know, it's plausible deniability. It's the ability for your surrogates to get out there, get the message of hate and fear across, and then you can distance yourself from it later when it's already in the public domain.
Well, but both sides have had surrogates, and not to the same extent. I would argue that Samantha Powers trying to say off the record that Hillary Clinton is a monster isn't the same order of magnitude, but she had to resign.
Right.
I mean, you're gonna,
sure. No, it was a politically foolish move. But what I'm saying is, when you're actually pandering to the politics of fear itself, you know, I think that's going to the lowest common denominator.
It's also illogical. If in fact you were elected to somebody named Barack Obama as president of the United States, that's like holding up a big, huge banner to the entire world, trying to make the argument for the virtues of representative democracy, of Western civilization. He's a great advertisement. People should think of it that way.
Let's keep it moving and talk about, oh, snap, Governor Elliot Spitz.
Wow.
Yo, he dipped out of office amidst reports. He paid over $80,000 for the services of prostitutes. He paves the way for his number two, David Paterson, to become New York's first black governor. Now, wait a second. Now, a word about Paterson. He's a Harlem native, but he's Brooklyn-born. Stand up, Brooklyn.
That's right.
What's up, Brooklyn in the house.
Now, he may be legally blind, but he'll be the second New York governor with a major disability to hold office, with FDR being the first. FDR had polio. Ruben, yo, what's up with your boy Spitz?
Look, man, I had the same thought when you all heard that he had spent $80,000 on hookers at least.
$80,000?
Which is basically that I'm not making enough money, apparently. Okay,
Yeah, it was just wow.
If you have that kind of money to burn,
it's like 2 years of college tuition.
He spent what I make in 2 years of a salary.
Okay, hold on. A word about the woman in question. Her name is Ashley Dupree. CNN's reporting. Her name is Ashley Dupree. Mm-hmm. And she's 22 years old. She's an aspiring singer, of course. And she has a $3,500 a month apartment that she can no longer afford to pay the rent for. She's out of a job, Boo-hoo. And she has a public defender. Yo, paging Billy Martin. Nick.
She's not out of work for long.
She needs a good lawyer.
She needs an agent.
Really?
Her price has just gone up.
Come on now.
She's got a book coming.
She won't need to sing for the rest of her life.
Go ahead,
as the resident lawyer, I have two very quick observations. One is as a lawyer. In the second day of law school, they teach you about interstate commerce. They teach you that if you're going to commit a crime, you do not cross state lines. Otherwise, you're screwed. And so I think I can speak on behalf of every lawyer.
Is that in the textbook? You're screwed.
I think, you know, for me and for some other lawyers out there, we scratch our heads and we wonder if this was not sort of a thrill-seeking experiment that he could get away with the same laws.
I think he was set up. I do think it was a setup. I think it was a honeypot setup.
Thank you, Marion Barry.
Yeah. Well, okay, wait a second. Now, Marion Barry,
you got those t-shirts,
Elliot Spencer.
But
if you know people are out to get you, don't be guilty.
Right, exactly. Right.
Don't be guilty.
And one more thing really quickly, guys. I want to speak about his wife, and I want to speak about all the wives. I saw Dina Matos McGreevy, the former wife of New Jersey Governor Jim McGreevy, when he admitted to having an affair. I am so sorry to all women out there
hold on.
I'm going to say it. Elliot Spitzer did not deserve to have his strong, loving wife stand next to him.
As the only wife represented here, I understand why we have a right to have a private opinion, but I'm kind of feel like it's not really our business.
A lot of it is not our business.
Yeah. No, I mean, she wants to stand there to support her husband, who is the father of her children, to make a statement.
Absolutely. It doesn't make a statement. But what
a private thing.
No, and again, it's not even about the prostitute. I mean, he broke federal laws.
Most people are so pop culture averse. If Ed Spitzer used to watch at least 2 episodes of The Wire, he would know better.
Wait, hold up. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Jimmy Israel, Ruben Navarrete, Nick Charles, and Arsalan Iftikhar in the Barbershop. Back to you, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. You know what? Speaking of sex scandals, Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick is still holding court in Detroit. He's still holding that seat after his sex scandal with his former chief of staff. He claims there's a lynch mob afoot. Yeah, bro, it's in your pants. Michelle, we got some tape on that, right?
Yes, I think we do. Here's Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick at his State of the City address on Tuesday, March 11th. But I have to warn you, there's some language in here. Just want to give you a heads up.
In the past 30 days, I've been called a more than any time in my entire life. In the past 3 days, I've received more death threats than I have in my entire administration. I've heard these words before, but I've never heard people say them about my wife and children. I don't believe that a Nielsen rating is worth the life of my children or your children.
Ruben. What? This cat is sitting there trying to cry us a river, and he got busted basically with his zipper down. What's wrong with this guy?
This was an error in judgment, and he's responsible for this. This idea that somehow it's about Nielsen ratings and the media. The media made me jump in bed with my chief of staff.
Then the race card.
That's brilliant because that's Marion Barry track, the race card. You know, the mayor of Newark is going to use it now in his trial, his corruption trial in New Jersey.
Well, check this out. Me as the devil's advocate, although I call for him to step down, I kind of admire his chutzpah. There's something about me that admires a politician that's willing to kind of stand through the fire and say, you know what, I feel like I'm doing a good job. I feel like I'm doing a good thing for Detroit. and I'm going to kind of bear the brunt of this.
But Jimmy,
and,
that's not
wear it out.
That's not chutzpah. That's political arrogance. You know, when Elliot Spitzer came out to
tomato.
Well, no, when you know, Elliot Spitzer did not look the least bit contrite. He looked like, you know, he had just
busted.
I am intrigued by his demeanor.
Yeah,
I have never seen somebody.
I'm intrigued by.
I have never seen anybody apologize and yet be so arrogant at the same time.
You know what? I'm struck by the letters in the New York Times today by so many people saying, I believed in this man. I'm one of these people who thinks this stuff is none of my business, but I'm devastated because I thought he was there for me, and now he's throwing the whole thing out the window.
He was Elliot Ness. He was Elliot Ness. He was the untouchable. He was supposed to be the
all of, I'll tell you, like everybody else, I was swapped up, and you know, when Spitzer was doing all his stuff against all these Wall Street barons,
right.
It's like, okay, go Elliot, because you're tired of seeing the little guy getting screwed.
Sure.
But on the back end of it, when you get caught with your pants down, jumping through the window, you don't come back to the microphone and basically you're like, okay, you know something? Yeah, I got caught. I'll see you guys in next life.
Let me say this. Now, you know what? Dude, he messed up. Spitzer, he messed up.
You think?
Hold on. This is really between him, his wife, and his God.
I don't agree. The people who voted for him voted for him with the expectation that he would fulfill the duties of his office. And he put himself in a position where he couldn't do that.
He apologized. He doesn't owe anybody a pastry or a Hallmark card.
There's
nothing else he can say. Well, this whole thing is terribly subjective to me.
I'm just thinking maybe it's just that what we expect of men is more complicated than we understand.
We have no idea what we expect.
Yeah. Really. You know what I mean?
Michelle, explain that.
I'm just saying on the one hand, you know, if a guy is very shows a lot of emotion and so forth in the performance of his duties, we think, oh, what's his problem, you know? Show off, and then in a situation like this, we're like, well, "Why isn't he more emotional?"
I don't want to demonize Elliot Spitzer. People have been writing letters, and you know, the blogosphere is like evil. This, I'm like, look, the man loves his wife. He's a family guy. He still is. You can still love your wife and do this crap.
Free Elliot.
And you know what? As your boy Elliot Spitz probably said earlier in the week, I think that's going to be a wrap, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for
being in the shop this week. I got to pass it back over to the lady of the house.
I know who I'm not going to look for sympathy if anything bad ever happens to me.
I got you.
We'll stand next to you, Michelle.
Thank you.
There you go. Absolutely.
Jimmy Israel is a freelance reporter who writes for TheRoot.com. He joined us from WFSU in Tallahassee, Florida. Ruben Navarrete writes for the San Diego Union-Tribune and CNN.com, and he joined us from San Diego. Arsalan Iftikhar is a contributing editor for Islamica magazine and a civil rights attorney, and he was here in our Washington studio. And Nick Charles is vice president of digital content at BET.com, and he joined us from our bureau in New York. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle.
Yep, yep.